life in Genesis chapter 6 has been leading up to this storm in Genesis chapter 7. Now, ain't it amazing? All the events we preached about, everything that we have talked about and tried to emphasize has been leading up to this storm. You know what God was doing for Noah? He was preparing him for the storm he was about to experience in his life. And I would submit to you this evening that God, well ahead of the storms we face, whether we realize or not, God is preparing us for the storm and for the difficulties that we have to face. Now, using the principle of first mention, this is the first storm, if you would, in our Bibles. This is the first time you see, of course, rain falling from heaven. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But this is the first storm. And so I want to look at some comfort. If God took care of his child in that first storm, then I got good news for you. He's going to take care of yourself and take care of you in your storm. Amen. Give you four things tonight, and I'm going to Waffle House. First of all, there is the declaration that was stated. Verses 1 through 4. In verse number 1, in this declaration that was stated, I find an invitation. Watch what the Lord said in this text. He did not tell Noah to go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. Now, please don't do this. I'm still working on that qualification of giving the hospitality, okay? But say you were to come to my house and knock on my door, and I'm on the inside of the house, and I open up the door and see you standing there, and I'm going to invite you in. I'm not going to say, well, go in. No, if you and I went to my house tonight and I unlocked the door and we're standing at the front porch, me being a good host, I'd say, Brother William, go in. You know why? We're both on the outside. I'm inviting him to go first. But if I'm already on the inside, I'm not going to say to William, well, go in. I'm going to say, come in. You know what will give us some hope in the storms of life is God's already there. You know who was the first one who boarded that ark that day? It was God already. Almighty. He looked at Noah and said, come on in, amen. And aren't you glad before you ever got to your storm, or before your storm ever got to you, aren't you glad God was already there? It did not take him off guard. It did not catch him by surprise. There's an invitation in this text. There is instruction in this text, verse 2 and 3. He reemphasizes the point about taking the clean beast and taking the unclean. And you know what God is doing? We'll preach about it here in a couple of weeks. But you know what God's doing? God told him to take 7 of every clean animal. You know what Noah did? Noah took that 7th animal and offered it as a sacrifice when he got out on the other side of the storm. Says the preacher, how does that bless you? God knew that Noah was going to make it to the other side. God knew that that storm was not going to kill Noah. And so he already had an offering prepared. He already had something prepared for Noah to put on that altar and say, thank you, God. I didn't die in that storm. I didn't drown with everybody else. Anybody listen to me tonight? My family made it out. We stepped out on higher ground on the other side. Noah thought he was going to make it, but God knew he was going to make it. And I know many of you tonight are walking through valleys and walking through storms, and you're wondering, am I going to make it? Am I going to make it another year? Am I going to make it another week? Can I make it another day? I want to let you know God's already seen the end of this thing. John saw me in Revelation 5, that number that no man could number. And I want to remind us all tonight, we will make it. There is information for verse 4, for yet 7 days will I cause it to rain upon the earth. 40 days and 40 nights, every living substance that I may will I destroy from off the face of the earth. So it was the declaration that was stated in verses 1 through 4. But number 2 tonight, verses 5 through 9, there is the diligence that is seen. Now God has already made the statement of what he is going to do. Now Noah has responsibility. I want to remind us all tonight that God has given us all responsibilities. We are responsible to truth. We are responsible to respond to what he's told us to do. So watch what Noah did. Notice I see his diligence and his assurance. Look at verse 5, please. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Now, Hebrews 11, the Hebrew writer says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You know what Noah did? You know how Noah responded with diligence? He believed God. Now, I'm going to say more about it. I had a handkerchief when this service started. I don't know where it went, praise God. Did I leave it at the piano? Is that what I did? No, I didn't. Somebody stole it. Somebody, well, I was praying. There's a piano there. Look out. There's a chair there. Look out for it. All right. I wish I could find that handkerchief. It's all right. Amen. Wait a minute. There's $100. No, I ain't it. All right, whatever. But anyway, Noah did not argue with God. Noah did not. I knocked down the, man, my wife's going to kill me. Amen. I done knocked down the July 4th stuff. Whatever. It's so difficult being me sometimes. But Noah did not argue with God and say, what's rain? It never rained before. We're going to see it in the text here in a few moments. But God allowed the earth to be watered from the dew that come up from the ground. It never rained before. Noah said, well, you mean it's going to flood? What's a flood? It's going to rain? What's rain? He just believed God. I like one preacher said years ago, God did not ask you to understand everything in the Bible, but he did ask you to believe it. I'm good, Brother Charles. He did ask you to believe it. You see, a lot of people get messed up because they can't understand everything in the Bible. Now, we do Bible questions in here, and I enjoy that. I've been chasing your kids around for 3 days. All right, give me a break. Now I know why you're so crazy. I know why you are crazy. Okay. But, Noah in this text, he believed. I like doing Bible questions. I mean, tear some of my preacher buddies' nerves up. You mean you don't screen them? I'm like, no, it's like a ground ball. You don't know which way it's going to go. Let's have fun with it. I like it. And my favorite answer is, I don't know. The deep things belongeth unto God. That's a verse I quote. Amen. It's a cop-out verse, but it works. You know what? I don't understand everything in this Bible, but I believe it. You know, there's a lot of people, the reason people have trouble with this Bible is because they're trying to understand it and they won't take it by faith. This is a book of faith. Well, how do you know that the King James Bible is the Word of God? I take it by faith. You can lay out all the stats, and I can. You can lay out all the history, and I can. I've done it here. But at the end of the day, if you don't have faith, this is God's Word. It don't matter how many things I roll out and show you, you're not going to believe it anyway. His assurance, but then his actions, verses 6 through 9. And Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came upon the earth, and Noah went in. You know what happened? Noah's assurance affected his actions. What he believed, watch it now, affected how he behaved. There's a lot of people say, boy, I believe Jesus, and I believe the Bible, and yada, 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 but you can't tell how the way they live. Belief. How you behave shows me what you really believe. Now, Noah did all the Lord wanted to do in verse 5. But in verse 7, when he walked in that ark, he showed me he really believed God because he stepped foot on that ark. In his assurance, in his actions, in his all. Verse 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. You know, we're real good at doing part of it. You obey God? Well, I've done part of what he wants to do. He don't want you to do part of it. If he wanted you to do part of it, he would have just told you to do that one part. But he wants you to be obedient in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I see tonight not only the diligence that is seen, but then I want you to notice number 3, and I'm hurrying. I noticed the destruction that was severe. We were laughing and cutting up last week, and I'm glad I pastor a church where I can run into a piano, run into a chair, knock a banner down, everybody laughs, and we move on. You know, some people, they just, you know. I'm glad we can do it. We were laughing last week about we always, you know, you see nurseries painted up in Noah's Ark, and, you know, it really don't make sense. That's the story where God killed everybody on the earth. And there is the space of mercy in verse 9 and 10. God's going to bring judgment. But Brother Charles, you know what God did in verse 9 and 10? He left that ark, that door on that ark open for 7 days. Now listen to me. Somebody said, boy, ain't it terrible that God only let Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives get on that ark. He wouldn't let nobody else get on that ark. That's a lie. That door was open for 7 days. Brother Clayton, the Bible said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Had that crowd said, okay, Noah, we believe you, they could have got on the ark. That's a picture of salvation. God will welcome anybody that'll come, but they got to come to the ark. They got to come. I'm going to preach on that door in a minute. They got to come through the door. Noah wasn't to go up there and say, well, come on now. Come get on the ark. That ain't what God told Noah to do. God told Noah, you preach and build the ark. You preach, build the ark. I want to remind us all night, the job of this church is to preach the gospel, whether it's by sermon or by gospel tract or by testimony, whether you knock on a door, whether you pass out a popsicle on a track at a parade, you are to give the gospel out and then stay in the ark. Noah got on the ark. He didn't get off that ark until God told him to leave. So there is the space of mercy. But then I want us also to see the storm's might. Verse 11 and 12, the Bible said, don't miss verse 11. I've read over this verse for years. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. You know that God did not flood the earth with just rain from the sky. There was water and fountains in the depth of the earth, and God broke up the earth. And so water was not only coming from the top, raining, it was coming from the bottom. And I believe in a worldwide flood. Y'all want to have some fun? You know why they're finding fossils on top of mountains? Because you head for higher ground when water's coming. Even animals know that. That's why they find them fossils. Well, what about, do you really believe in those dinosaur fossils? That flood advanced that fossilization. Is that a word? It is now. That fossilization, that's why they think they're 2 million years old, because they don't believe in the flood. Ain't amazing how science catches up with the Bible. And what did God do? God, and I believe, what is that theory, honey, they could call it, where all the earth was one? Yeah, what that Pangea. I believe all the earth was one whole land until the ark, until the flood. I mean, it looks like a puzzle when you put it together now. What's God doing? God is breaking things up. God, you know what God, he is separating things. There's a storm's might, the space of mercy, but then there's the sobering marvel. Later on in that text, I got the verse written down. The Bible said all flesh died. They were destroyed. Can you imagine them people that mocked Noah? Noah, what are you doing building that ark? What are you doing building that ark? You're wasting your time. What's going to rain? You're crazy, Noah. You crazy fanatic. You're just crazy. You're always talking to that God you can't see. You're crazy, Noah. But when God shut that door, it wasn't funny anymore. Now, the Bible does not say that people were beaten on the ark trying to get in. But in our human mindset, that could have happened. Come on, Noah, let us on. We believe you now. But I don't know if they would have had time. With those fountains of the deep opening up from the bottom, I doubt they would have had time to even beat on any doors. I'm just being honest with you. I believe they drowned quicker than they realized it. I'm telling you, judgment's coming. Now, God's not going to flood the world again. He said, we'll see it in Genesis 9. He's not going to destroy the earth by water again, but next time he's going to destroy it by fire. Judgment's coming on this world. Judgment's coming on this. I believe the judgment of God is on this country. Somebody said, and I know what the preacher said today, and I agree with that, but we're seeing the judgment. I believe the Sodomites are the judgment of God. I believe the wickedness of this land is the judgment of God on this nation. You see, God has always given leadership to a nation according to the heart of the people. Look where we're at. Gavin Newsom out in California just signed a bill. I have a preacher that I follow online who signed a bill where a child can go and get a transgender surgery and they do not have to notify the parents. And you tell me God's not judging this country? All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And America is not excluded from that. I love this country. I love the red, white, and blue. I like it all. But I'm just telling you tonight, we cannot be so in love with this world and think that God's not going to destroy this place. There's, you know, all the Bible prophecy preachers. Where's America at in Bible prophecy? Where? She ain't there. I believe because she's going to be destroyed from within. We're seeing it now. You're seeing it now. And I'm not, and y'all know me, I ain't one of these preachers going to give you a Fox News report for 20 minutes and depress you for 20 minutes and wonder why the service is dead. Duh. You beat everybody down, didn't you, and didn't tell them about God. But you can see this nation and this world hates God and hates the Bible and hates truth. Judgment's coming. And it's going to be a severe judgment. Somebody said, well, God's a God of love. Oh, he's been a God of love ever since Calvary and Pentecost, but he's fixed to turn that God of judgment. Number four, and I'm done. There is the declaration stated, the diligence that is seen, the devastation that was severe, or the destruction that was severe. But I love this nail. There was a door that was shut. Don't miss this nail. Verses 13 through 16. In the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. They, every beast after his kind, verse number 15, and they went into the ark, two by two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, and they went in male and female of all flesh, as God has commanded. Watch this last phrase. And the Lord shut him in. Ain't that a blessing? Sister Bridge, what's the blessing about the Lord shutting him in? Well, that door, that what the Lord shut him in was with a door. That door was three things. I'm done. Number one, it was the providence of God. You see, Noah, when he's building that ark, God said, I want you to put a door in the side of it. Why? So you can get in, Noah. Providence means to provide in advance. Long before Noah knew everything that was going to happen with the judgment of God, I mean, he believed God, but he didn't know how it was all going to work out. God already made a way for him to get in. You know what Jesus said? I am the door. And aren't you glad that there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world in Jesus? And before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. And before there was ever a hell, there was a heaven. And before there was ever a devil, there was God. There was Jesus. I see the protection of God. When he shut that ark, when he shut that door, it was God protecting Noah from all the destruction on the outside. But then this door being shut in was the purpose of God. You know, 1 Peter 3:20 says that Noah was saved by water. Now, think about that phrase. That does not mean he got saved by the baptistry. That's what Church of Christ want to preach, the water dogs, the Campbellites, as Billy Mitchell would call them. You don't get saved by getting baptized. You get saved by trusting Jesus. So what does that saved by water mean? Well, when that ark got in that storm, that water, you know what it done? It raised that ark off the earth. And God, there ain't no steering wheel, there ain't no rudder, there ain't no sail on that ark. God didn't tell Noah to put any kind of navigational system on that ark because God's driving this ark. You know what that storm did for Noah? It didn't destroy him and it didn't devastate him, but it detached him. It got him off this world and got him higher than he'd ever been. You see, what looked like was going to destroy Noah, and what looked like was going to take Noah down, actually took him up. Are y'all picking up what I'm laying down? What looked like was going to be his end and his doom was actually what God used to raise him higher. In fact, we'll look at it next week in Genesis 8. He landed on Mount Ararat. You know what Ararat means? The curse reversed. It means it looked like you wasn't going to make it, Noah. But God used what you thought was going to take you down to get you to a higher spot. You know where God put Noah at the end of the storm? He put him on a big rock. Put him on a mountain. Here's what David said. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. That's exactly what God did for Noah. Had Noah resisted God, he would have died with everybody else in that storm. But since he submitted to the will of God for his life, and God did not destroy him in that storm, but God elevated him and God promoted him in that storm. In fact, when Noah got off that ark, he was walking on higher ground than he'd ever been before. And I would submit to you, child of God, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I know it's dark in some of you's life right now. The storm clouds are rolling in. It's real dark. You ain't seen the sunshine. And you say, boy, this is going to take me down. But what you don't realize is God's letting the rain fall to get your boat up. So you won't get drugged down by the tree. You think about that. If that ark didn't get raised up, it'd have been drugged down by trees, by houses. But God's letting it rain a lot to get you higher, get you closer to Him. That is the comfort of Noah's welfare. Right in the middle of that storm, God was taking care of Noah. Now, I taught y'all the principle of first mention. If God took care of His people in the first storm, then He's going to take care of us in the next storm. Ain't that a blessing tonight? You know why? Because we're sheltered in the arms of God. I don't know if I'm going to make it this time, preacher. Wait a minute. Ain't that what we said the last time? I don't know if I'm going to get all my bills paid this month. Ain't that what we said last month? And over and over, God is taking care of what we need. And I bless His name tonight. He is good. The comfort of Noah's welfare. I bless it. My wife's testifying, and I'm not trying to be too personal. We're putting Sightler in school, and they are proud of their education. And they are proud of it. I'm talking 10 grand proud for 1 year. I mean, they're just proud of it. But God's already met half the need. God's already met half the need. What's God doing? I was like, boy, how's this going to happen? But God's just taking care of it. I don't know how it's going to work, but God's going to take care of it. You know, we pray oftentimes. Let's stand. Makes you feel better when we stand.